Isaiah 1:18. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. Isaiah 8:20. The people of God are directed to the scriptures as their safeguard against the influence of false teachers and the delusive power of spirits of darkness. Satan employs every possible device to prevent man from obtaining a knowledge of the Bible. For its plain utterance reveals his deceptions. At every revival of God's work, the prince of evil is aroused to more intense activity. He is now putting forth his utmost effort for the final struggle against Christ and his followers. The last great delusion is soon to open before us. Antichrist is to perform his marvelous works in our sight. So closely will be the counterfeit resemble the truth that it will be impossible to distinguish between them except by the Holy Scriptures. By their testimony, every statement and every miracle must be tested. The man who makes the workings of miracles the test of his faith will find that Satan can, through a species of deceptions, perform wonders that will appear to be genuine miracles. Satan is a cunning worker, and he will bring in subtle fallacies to darken and confuse the mind and root out the doctrines of salvation. Those who do not accept the word of God, just as it reads, will be snared in his trap. Evil angels are upon our track every moment. They assume new ground and work marvels and miracles in our sight. Some will be tempted to receive these wonders as from God. The sick will be healed before us. Miracles will be performed in our sight. Are we prepared for the trials which awaits us when the lying wonders of Satan shall be more fully exhibited? Will not many souls be ensnared and taken by departing from the plain precepts and commandments of God and giving heed to fables? The minds of many are preparing to receive these lying wonders. We must all now seek to arm ourselves for the contest in which we must soon engage. Faith in God's word, prayerfully studied and practically applied, will be our shield from Satan's power and bring us off conquerors through the blood of Christ Jesus.
That's great. I must praise Heavenly Father. Once again, Heavenly Father, we most grateful and thankful that we are alive today. As we look around, Father, we can see the signs on every side being fulfilled in rapid procession. And Father, we should be asking you at this moment to give us your Holy Spirit, as most of the times it is, so we be sure that we're in the faith of God's word. And when all is said and done, Father, we pray that we, along with the listeners today, will be drawn closer to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good afternoon and welcome to Turning Point, a program presented by Turning Point Ministries. This afternoon, again, as we prepare for our live calling show on June the 12th from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m., we will be discussing the rapture, fact or fiction. If you have any questions or comments, please feel free to contact us at 322-6273, or you can write us at P.O. Box N8993. Or you can email us at tpministries@hotmail.com. Our website, for most of you who listen to us regularly, you know is at www.tpministries.org. And if you happen to be away from the Bahamas or Nassau and you still want to listen to us, you can by logging on to www.znsbahamas.com. Driverless cars careen out of control. Terrified people watch their loved ones vanish. Some say it's an alien invasion, but Rayford Steele knows that his wife's warning has come true. Christ has raptured the believers, and he's being left behind. The question this afternoon is, the rapture, fact or fiction? This afternoon in the studio we have Brother Paul Miller and Brother Renwick Bro, and we will discuss this question to see, is the rapture fact or fiction? And all of this is in preparation for our program that is going to be aired on June the 12th, a live call-in show. That's June the 12th from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. But Paul, my first question to you is, what is the rapture?
According to the dictionary, and we agree with what the dictionary said, because it's right in harmony with the word of God, the rapture is those set of people on the earth, the saints of God, according to Revelation 14:12, that are keeping the commandments of God, that are looking forward to the second coming of Christ, and they will surely be raptured away. That's what the dictionary says. And that's right in line of what the Bible said. Those people are looking for the glorious return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who will take us home to be with him where he is in the courts of heaven.
Okay, Brother Paul, we have heard about the rapture, and we've also heard this other term used quite a bit, the secret rapture. Is there any difference, and what are the differences?
Yes, there are differences, Brother Julian. The rapture and the secret rapture. The rapture theory is that those, like I said earlier, those people who believe in the second coming of Christ, we are coming, Christ is coming in the clouds of glory with a great noise to awake the saints that are sleeping on the ground and those that are waiting his return to take them home to be with him. Wherein the secret rapture theory teaches that, yes, the saints will be raptured from the earth, those that are in the earth and those that are standing on the earth. But the theory of the secret rapture is it will be done secretly. Most of us would not know, like what Brother Julian just read from the Left Behind series. They think that it's going to be, people are just going to be vanishing into thin air. And whoever's left behind will go through the tribulation and the great time of trouble. And that's the difference between the rapture and the secret rapture.
Okay, there's another terminology that we hear from time to time, and that terminology is futurism. Brother Renwick, could you tell us what this futurism is about?
Sure. Well, what happened back during the time of the Dark Ages, the Protestants looked at the prophecies in the Bible, and they said, okay, these prophecies are being unfolded right now. They looked at what was happening in the world, they looked at history, and they applied prophecy. In order to get the heat off of the papal system, a Jesuit by the name of Francisco Ribera came up with a theory called the Secret Rapture Theory, and that's based on futurism. What futurism does is that it takes the prophecies that are in Daniel and the prophecies that are in Revelation, and it pushes them all down to the end of time. It says that these prophecies, some of them are being fulfilled, and then prophetic time stops. Prophetic time stops, and then it picks up at the end of time when the church has been taken away from the world, and then the Antichrist is going to come on the scene, the persecution is going to start, the Jewish temple is going to be rebuilt, Jewish sacrifices are going to be reinstituted, and apparently these sacrifices are going to be accepted by heaven according to the futurist theory, and in the middle of all the sacrifices, the Antichrist is going to stop the sacrifices, persecution is going to begin in the world against the Christians and the Jews, and then finally Christ is going to come back at the end and rapture those who are called by his name. Again, this is a false theory. It's not based on any scriptural evidence whatsoever, but it's something that was invented by man, like we said in previous occasions, to take the heat off of the papal system.
Thank you, Brother Renwick. Brother Paul, I'm sure if you ask most pastors, bishops, or prophets, or apostles today, they will say that we are living in the end of time and that Jesus is soon to come. Can you share with us what the Bible says that must happen before Jesus comes to rapture his people?
Yes, Brother Julian. We take Matthew 24, verses 14. The Bible says, "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached through the whole world for witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come." So Jesus is quite clear. The gospel, the good news of the gospel that's talking about Jesus Christ, must be preached throughout the whole world, and then the end shall come. And then to make justice a little bit more clear, in Revelation chapter 14, verse 14, verse 6 to 7, it tells us, well, who all is going to receive this gospel? And it says, "And I saw another angel, another messenger, I really should say, flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, to every nation, kindred, tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, Fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made the heaven, the earth, the sea, and the fountains of waters." So the book of Revelation 14, 6 and 7, and the book of Matthew 14, 24, verse 14, says the gospel must be preached to every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. That means no one will be left without hearing this gospel. And then, like Jesus said, it will happen just like he said, after this is completed, to every nation, kindred, tongue, and people, then the end shall come.
Amen, Brother Paul. And the Bible also tells us, if we invite our listeners to please turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and let's read from verse 2 to 3. And it says that ye be not shaken in mind or troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposed and exalted himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped. So the Bible is telling us, friends, that before Christ returns to receive those that are called by his name, before that happens, the Antichrist will be revealed. The Bible also tells us that he is working in, the spirit of Antichrist is working in this world right here today. The Bible also tells us, if you turn to Matthew chapter 24, verse 37 to 39, the Bible tells us that before Christ comes the second time, there'll be very troublous times in the world. In fact, that will be just like in the days of Noah. It'll be just like in the days of Lot. That in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5, it tells us what it was like during the days of Noah. And God saw that there was that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. Christ is saying in Matthew chapter 24 that it'll be just like that before he comes back. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 6 again. And that every imagination and the thoughts of his heart was evil continually. This is speaking about the condition of mankind before Christ returns. Genesis 6:11. The earth was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. Is that the situation that we see today, friends? Is the earth corrupt? Is there violence abounding at every corner of the earth? Genesis chapter 6:12. And it says, and God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And Christ is saying to us again in Matthew that before he returns, before he returns to receive his saints a second time, the conditions that existed in the days of Noah, in the days of Lot, will exist again right before he returns.
Thank you very much, Brother Renrick. We know that Satan can transform himself into the angel of light. And the piece we read that I read before in our introduction, we talk about Satan doing miracles just like Jesus did. How would we know when the true Jesus come? How would we know that that is the real and true Jesus?
According to Acts chapter 1, verse 9 to 11, the Bible says, and when he, Jesus, had spoken these words to his disciples just before he left, he was taken up out of their sight. And while they were looking steadfast towards the heaven as Jesus began to be departed from them, the Bible says, and two men stood beside them in white apparel, which also said unto the disciples, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into the heaven, shall so go in like manner as you have seen him go into the heaven. So the Bible says in Acts 1, 9 to 11, that just like how Jesus Christ appeared physically and visibly, we, the disciples, and all those who have witnessed glory return will also see him return. And then Romans chapter 1, verse 7 says, and behold, he come with clouds, and every eye, that's right, every eye shall see him, and they also which passed him, and all the kingdoms of the earth shall wail because of him, even so, amen. So the Bible is quite clear that even those that pass Christ, even those that put him literally to death on the cross, will be raised for, at least these people can have two resurrections. They're going to be raised up to receive to see Christ coming in the clouds of glory, and they're going to be put back to death with the brightness of his coming. And then they're going to be raised again to be judged, and then they'll have that deal in the lake of fire.
Absolutely. And we must realize that that day is going to be a day of great joy for those that are called by the name of Christ. But it's also going to be a day of great sadness for those that have rejected Christ. And by no means is that day going to be a day of secrecy, a day of silence where nobody will know where people just vanish off to. And the Bible confirms that. If we go to Matthew chapter 24 and verse 27, it says plainly, for as lightning cometh out of the east and shineth unto the west, so also shall the coming of the Son of Man be. When Christ comes, ladies and gentlemen, it's going to be an awesome event. Every eye shall see, every eye shall behold. Verse 31, and he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect, those that are called by his name, from the four winds, from one end of heaven to another. It's not going to be a secret event, ladies and gentlemen. And finally, what's one more text I'd like to quote to you, and it's Psalms 50, verse 3. And it says, our God shall come and shall not keep silence. A fire shall devour before him, and it shall be very tempestuous round about him. This is not a silent or a secret event, ladies and gentlemen.
Why do so many churches today teach, a different teaching from what the early church or the former church believed concerning the second coming of Jesus, Paul and Henry?
I think what happened, Brother Jones, a lot of people have forgotten their church history. Take, for instance, Martin Luther. It is said that when Martin Luther began to do his research, he found out that the little horn, the man of sin, and the beast system was pointing towards one system. And he said it was the papal system. And the problem is, church history, the churches today either don't want to go into their history, they don't know anything about their history, or they want to play as if they have forgotten their history. But history records it, ladies and gentlemen, just like Martin. This is what shocked Martin Luther. And this is one thing that caused Martin Luther to nail the 95 Theses against the church doors, because they rejected the message that Martin Luther was presented that day, but he was steadfast. And you know, the Bible tells us what is the spiritual application of what's happening today. In 1 Timothy 4, verse 1, he says, and now the Spirit speaketh expressly, that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. So any doctrine that you and I hold on to, if it's not biblical, it's a doctrine of devil. And you know, Brother Julian just told you, the devil himself is transformed into an angel of light. And if you're familiar with that text, the next verse says, and there's no great thing that he can make his ministers appear to be ministers of righteousness. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1 to 4 adds more to this. The Apostle Paul said, now I beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and ye are gathered unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by the letter as from us, that day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except the coming of falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Who is this man of sin? The Apostle Paul tells it, who opposes it, and exalts himself above all that is called God, so that he is worshipped, so as he sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. I invite you to do some homework. There's only one religious system on the face of the earth. There's only one religious man that holds his position on the face of the earth today. And maybe I don't have to tell you, maybe your research will tell you. He sits in the temple of God, he shows himself that he is God, and he's being worshipped as God. You see him all the time on CNN. They bow down and they kiss his ring. And sometimes they even go to call him the Holy Father. You know who that person is, ladies and gentlemen. Let it be deceived. And this is some of the things that the great reformers cried out about. And some of them even lose their lives by presenting the truth. And nothing has changed, ladies and gentlemen. Today, people are still losing their lives when they stand for truth as it is in Jesus Christ.
And I'd just like to add briefly to that. And if we go back to Matthew 24, and it says, except that those days be shortened, no flesh shall be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Verse 21, right before that, says, For then shall be great tribulation, such as not since the beginning of the world to this time, nor ever shall be. Let's turn to Revelation chapter 16, and it speaks of the judgments of God being poured out in this world during the end time. And the second angel poured his vial upon the sea, and it became as the blood of a dead man, and every living soul in the sea died. And the third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and the fountains of waters, and they became as blood. Verse 8, and the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat, and blasphemed the name of God, which had power over these plagues, and they repented not to give him glory. The issue here is not whether or not we can survive the judgments of God that are poured out on this world, because nor whether or not we'll be able to survive the tribulation that takes place against God's children because of the wicked men in this world. We always have to remember that when we are called by the name of God, that he will be with us regardless what fiery trials come. The same way that he stood with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego during the fiery furnace, he will stand with us. The same way he stood with Daniel in the lion's den, it's the same way he will stand with us, no matter how great the tribulation will be. And the judgments of God that will be poured out in this world during the book of Revelation are not poured out upon the saints, but are poured out against those that refuse the gospel of Jesus and refuse Jesus Christ. So we have nothing to fear, ladies and gentlemen. We have nothing to fear once we surrender all to Christ and we are abiding in him.
Many Christians today use the text of Luke 17, 34 to 36 to justify this secret rapture theory. Could you gentlemen give us the proper explanation of one taking the other left?
I think what they need to do, Brother Julian, is they need to start from verses 26 to get the whole sense of what Christ is trying to say. Because this is Christ speaking, it was Jesus Christ himself speaking here, telling us what the end would be like. But still, men don't want to believe what Christ said. In Luke 7, in the beginning of verse 26 to 37, Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah. And last week, Brother Renwick told you, in the days of Noah, Noah was not taken away from the flood, but he was saved through the flood. Then he also talked about how it was in the days of Lot, where Lot and his family were taken out by the angels of the Lord, by the hand. And when fire rained down on Sodom, they all were destroyed. But remember, Lot's wife looked back. And when she looked back, even to this day, the Bible says she's into a pillar of salt. And Christ felt so strong about this statement. In verse 32, he said, all of us should remember Lot's wife. In other words, any man having his hand to the plow, remember that scripture? The Bible says, any of us having our hand to the plow and look back is not worthy of the kingdom. And then he went on to verse 33 and he talks about whichever one of us want to save our life and don't want to lose our life, then we'll lose our life if we try to save it. He said, I tell you, in that night there should be two men in one bed, one should be taken and the other left. Now the thing about this is, these two men can't be homosexuals. Because if they're homosexuals, none should be taken. Because the Bible says no homosexuals will be in heaven. Neither can they be two Christian men. Because if there are two Christian men laying in one bed, I mean, that's bad news. That means only one Christian man in the bed can be saved. So what is Christ saying? The bed here, ladies and gentlemen, represents the grave. In the book of Job, it talks about how Job talked about he will make his grave in the bed of the earth. Also, David talked about the bed being the grave of the earth. And they talk about two women grinding at the mill, meaning that the women, we told you in Bible prophecy, represents the church. the church is working in out in the mill would be like in the church or in the field, wherever you are working, in your workplace, at work, at the mechanic shop, at the laundromat, wherever you're working, you're working preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And there are two groups of people preaching the gospel at this time. Those who are preaching the false message and those who are preaching the false message. And where is it they will be preaching? Verse 36 says they'll be preaching in the field, like I just told you. Wherever your field of work is, that's where you're going to be working. And the Bible says there are some people on the job site preaching a false message, and there are some preaching the false message. And then verse 37 says, when they will be taken, whoever's be taken will be taken. Whoever's left behind, this way the eagles will be gathered together to deal with the body waste that will be left behind, according to Jeremiah chapter 23.
And the Bible also backs that up, and it says in Matthew 7, verse 21 through 23, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? In thy name have we cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, but depart from me, ye that worketh iniquity. So the Bible is clear that when Christ comes, not everyone is going to be taken. And like Brother Paul said, those that are left behind are not going to be left to roam this earth, are not going to be left to have a second chance, but they're going to be left in a state of death. They're going to be, like Brother Paul said, where the eagles gather, that's where the body remains. Those that are left are not left alive, ladies and gentlemen. When judgment was poured out on the city of Sodom, those after judgment was poured out, the people inside the city were not left alive. The righteous were taken out of the city. They were in the earth, but when judgment was poured out, they were not left alive. When the door closed on the ark, when the flood waters came, those that were left on the earth were not left alive. And the same way it shall be with Christ's second coming. Those that will be taken will be saved and will be gathered with Christ in the clouds. Those that are left will not be left alive.
Did Christ advise us or warn us about any signs that we would see taking place just before he returns?
Yes, he did. In Matthew chapter 24, verse 24 to 28, Jesus says, for there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, showing great signs and wonders, in so much that if it were possible, they should deceive the very elect. How would you know if Turning Point members are false prophets? Well, Isaiah 8:20 gives you the command. 1 John 2, 3 and 4 even makes it more crystal clear. Isaiah 8:20 says, if Turning Point ministers talk not according to the law and to the testimony that we always tell you is from Genesis to Revelation, if we speak not according to these two principles, there is no light in us. Then 1 John 2, 3, 4 says, hereby you will know if the members of Turning Point Ministries know Jesus Christ. If the members of Turning Point members keep none of the commandments of God, they are liars and the truth is not in them. That's 1 John 2, 3 and 4. So Jesus says, behold, I told you before. Therefore, if they should say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the single chamber, believe it not. For the lightning coming out of the east, like Brother Renwick told you, even unto the west, so also should the coming of the Son of Man be. For whatsoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. So Jesus even told you that the carcasses will be at the end of time, at the end of all the false prophets and all these false teachings, the carcasses, dead bodies, bodily waste, will be upon the earth. And Jeremiah, we told you last week, Jeremiah chapter 24 tells you that where these dead bodies are, they'll be dung upon the earth. They'll be not lamented. No one will be here to bury them. They'll be bodily waste upon the earth. That's Jeremiah chapter 25. It's quite clear, ladies and gentlemen, but I encourage you to read that today, Jeremiah 25. You can start from verse 31 to 38. The Bible says, all the false shepherds, they will not escape. Even their congregations will not escape. And they will cry to the shepherd and howl in the principal flock, and they shall hear from the Lord, you have spoiled my pasture, and because of this, I'm going to destroy you, said Jesus in verse 37. And it's because they have forsaken the word of the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, time is running out. It's time for us to search the scriptures for ourselves.
Not only will those great and terrible events take place on the earth, but the Bible is explicitly clear. And again, we go back to Second Thessalonians, that before Christ comes, the man of sin will be revealed. The Antichrist power will be fully revealed in this earth. Even back in the days of Paul, he said that the mystery of iniquity, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who let it will let until he be taken out of the way. This is speaking about that Antichrist power that is drawing away so many away from the true Christ. Paul was saying in 2 Thessalonians that this power was at work even in his day. And the Bible makes it clear that before Christ comes back, this power will be fully revealed. He will be fully unmasked to the world. The deception will be fully unmasked, and all will know all who are in Christ, who seek after truth, who seek after knowledge, would be able to see clearly that this is the man of sin, this is the Antichrist power that is at work. Again, ladies and gentlemen, we encourage you to read 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3, all of chapter 2. Sit down and take some time
upon the earth,
the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, that you may have true wisdom and understanding. Read for yourself and don't rely on the wisdom of men and flashy novels.
Like we told last week, Brother Julian and Brother Renrick, we advised them to go and do a research on the Council of Trent. This is the whole purpose of the Council of Trent. When the Roman Church called the meeting of the Council of Trent, one of the things they wanted to deal with was the beast system and the man of sin and the Antichrist system. That's one of the things they wanted to deal with. And Brother Renrick told you, the gentleman who came up with the same agenda before us here on planet Earth, Francisco Ribeiro. And the concept is being shared. The sad thing about it is that the papacy system is not the one preaching the message. It is the churches who believe contrary to what the church, the papacy system teaches. They are now on board with this system, proclaiming it loud and clear. And just no longer on Wednesday, me and Brother Julian had an opportunity to talk to a young man, and he believed the same kind that when the church is raptured, people are going to go on here living behind. But what are you going to be alive for, ladies? Just think about it. For which reason are you going to be alive during that time if there's no more hope for you? Today, remember, if you hear God's voice, harden not your heart.
A final question for this afternoon, and we got to be quick because we only have a couple of more minutes, is the tribulation. Matthew 24:29, Jesus talks about the tribulation. How important is this for us today?
What could that been the Christ leave according to 2 Corinthians chapter 2 is Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 33. That's Jeremiah chapter 25, verse 33. There'll be no one here to bury them. Amen. Study those scriptures, ladies and gentlemen.
Amen, Brother Paul. Let's go back to our Bibles again. Luke chapter 18, verse 28 through 30. Likewise,
before they are revenged before they are taken into revenge, and the message that came out from heaven was, and tell their fellow brethren also should be killed like they were killed. You read that in Revelation chapter 9:11, and it says, when the fifth seal was opened, the souls of them were slain for the word of
God, and brimstone from heaven, and destroyed them all.
O Lord, holy and true that thou judge and avenge our blood that dwell in the earth. And the answer came back, and white robes were given unto them. And it was said,
Turning Point Ministries were the words of Christ.
Fellow brethren, also their brethren should be killed, even as they were killed. That's Revelation chapter 11.
All right, thank you very much. And ladies and gentlemen, please don't forget our call-in show, when Christ comes the second time.
And again, we go back to the scriptures, and the scriptures confirm that his coming will not be secret, it will not be silent, but it will be the most...
Before your throne this afternoon, we come before you, God, asking forgiveness of sin and cleansing of heart and mind. Lord, once again, we bring a topic that many persons have believed one way. Lord, we ask that you give them the power and the energy and the desire to study the scripture to see if these things are true. Because you will soon come, O God. You will soon send your Son to be with us, to bring us home. So, Lord, we ask you to give us that power and strength. It's our prayer we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Once again, we ask you to contact us at 322-6273. And if you want to visit this, listen to this message again, you can listen up on our website at www.tpministries.org. Until next week, may the peace of God be with you and your family. This is Paul Miller.
This is Renato.
And until next week, may God richly bless you.